Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perrier about calcium bentonite clay. Good to have you here today. I've had some really interesting questions this week just from individuals who haven't read the book, and some of them kind of want me to tell them the whole book in 30 minutes, which is a little hard to do, but I give it my best shot, and some of the questions are rather interesting, and where they come from are even more interesting, because we have a lot of false information about clay out there. And so I'm going to try to shed some light on that, and I'm going to run over and look and see if we have questions waiting, and we do. Jamel in Oakton says, like in other chelation methods, does living clay deplete the body of essential minerals also? No. Clay is not looking for your minerals. It's looking for positive charge toxins, chemicals in the bodies, pesticides, heavy metals, mercury, lead, zinc, not zinc, but mercury, lead, arsenic, some of those. It's not going after your body minerals. It actually helps because it is a stimulus and because it increases circulation and blood flow and bringing oxygen to the body. It actually helps build your minerals. It is known to build bone density. If you put the clay mask over a broken bone, it will heal in, I'd say, a fourth of the time. We had a gentleman that broke his wrist at an angle. They put him in a splint, told him to go to the big city and get a cast. He lived in the country. And he went home with the splint, and he just put the clay all around his wrist and wrapped it in saran wrap and put the splint on and did that for a week. And he said in 3 weeks he was back driving a four-wheel drive tractor, shifting gears, riding horses, and in 4 weeks he was shoeing a horse. So it really does help rebuild those broken bones and mend them. So clay does not deplete you of your essential minerals. It's not after your nutrition. It's not after your supplements. It's looking for positive charge toxins, the baddies. And believe me, it has a wisdom. It knows how to differentiate between them. Since clay is a nanocrystals, crystals are capable of reorganization, and they also hold memory. And clays have a tendency to go to the worst deposit of where the bad stuff is. And it will clean house there, like it goes to the dirtiest room and cleans house, and then it goes to the body. But it actually helps the support the body, because clay is a catalyst that works with the body so it can rebuild the immune system. So get rid of that idea. That's been around for a long time, and it frustrates me. Another question. I'm unable to do a full body bath. Is a foot bath okay? If so, how much clay for a 50-pound child, and how frequently to give? It depends on what you're giving it for. We do sweat quite a bit from the bottom of our feet, so putting a clay bath putting a clay foot soak is good, clay bath. And I would mix it about a 1-to-5 ratio. You want it thicker than the liquid clay, but not as thick as the clay mask. Or if you want, and this might be easier for a child, smother the feet in the clay mud, the 1-to-3 ratio, if you're using the Living Clay brand, wrap it in saran wrap and put socks on it and let her sleep with it on at night. And you can do that as often as you like. I'm not sure what you're trying to accomplish, if it's pulling out heavy metals, if you know they have heavy metals, if it's an autistic child you want to calm down. Another thing you can do is get them in the bathroom and take the clay mud, rub it on their body, and if you have a little heater in the bathroom, you can turn that in and let it dry, and then get in the shower and wash it off. So there are lots of other alternatives to the clay bath. The bath is good because getting in the warm water and getting down in the clay water, it gets to all your lymph glands, and it can really stimulate the release of toxins. But you can take that mud and put it where you know, just look up on the body where the lymph glands are and put it in that area, kind of let it dry, and then get in your shower. So we have a lot of suggestions. That's a good question because there are a lot of alternatives if you don't have a bathtub or you can't get in a bathtub like elderly people. I had another question today of someone asking where they could go to get a mud bath. There are a few spas out there that do that. There's one in Calistoga Spa in Calistoga, California. There are quite a few in Colorado, and if you will Google clay mud baths, you'll find some, maybe even in your area. But, you know, you can take a plastic kiddie pool in your backyard and start mixing up clay. You want to get it to a mud-like consistency. If you want to put like 8 pounds of clay in the tub and cover it with water, and you want to cover it where it's over the top of it, and just leave it, cover it, leave it overnight, and you may have to leave it for a day or two for it to saturate and get to a muddy state. And you just keep adding water until you get it the consistency you want. You want it pretty muddy. And you can get in that and lay down and cover yourself with mud. Have a lounge chair, sit on your lounge chair and dry off. Maybe an old bathing suit or a bikini. I hope you have a privacy fence. And, you know, you can cover it and you can use it several times. I had an interesting request last night of somebody questioning the surface area of the clay, and they were worried about chlorine in the water. And somebody told them that if you're not using filtered water and there's chlorine in the water, you're not getting an effective clay bath. 1 gram of clay, and 1 gram is 1/4 of a teaspoon. So 1 gram of clay has a surface area of 800 square feet. So get this in mind. The clay is like when you look under a high-power microscope, they're little thin business cards, little rectangular cards with lots of negative charges on the inside. And when you hydrate them with water, they expand and swell, and that exposes the negative charges between the layers. Now, if you took those little business cards that are in 1 gram of clay and laid them out flat side by side on a football field, it would go to the 20-yard line. That's in 1 gram. 4 teaspoons would take you to the 80-yard line. That's the surface area of clay. So I wouldn't worry about a little chlorine. If there's chlorine in the water, clay's going to grab it, take it out. Don't worry about your fluoride in the water. Clay will grab it, and there'll still be plenty enough clay to detox you. It's not going to weaken or delete the clay. They don't have that much, you know, chlorine to do that. So, and if you're doing a clay bath, your little business cards would cover about 15 and a half football fields. So I thought that was pretty, using a 1 cup clay bath. So I thought that was pretty interesting to know the strength of clay in the surface area that has those negative charge, because that's what grabs the toxins, the negative charge. Our baddies are positive charged. Thank you for that question. Jody in Palestine. Once you start taking clay, how often should you measure your body's pH? What is a good pH level to have while taking clay? When you are a good pH level, should your clay dose be daily? Also, what kind of water do you recommend to drink and mix with the clay? Well, first of all, let's go with the water question. Doesn't really matter, because if you're using tap water with chlorine in it, the clay is going to grab it, right? So it will clean it. They actually use clay in winemaking to filter out the impurities in the vats. So they have these big vats, and they put the clay in there with the wine and stir it around, and then they let it settle, and all the impurities go to the bottom because the clay pulls them down to the bottom. And they have the clarified wine on top. So, let's see, what kind of water would you use? I recommend just good old filtered spring water. I use a local brand here. It's called Hill Country Spring Water in Texas and Austin. It's from the Edwards Aquifer, and they filter it. It's a bottled water, and I have a machine, so I can go get, you know, my water from that just because I like the taste of it. Now, you can put a little clay, and if you want to pour up a pitcher of water and pour just a little bit of clay in it and stir it up and let it settle, that chlorine taste will go away. So what should your body's pH be? Your body's pH should be between 6.5 and 7.5. Ideally around the 7 is a good pH. If you get down in the 6s, you're getting acidic. When you're at a good pH level, what should your clay dosage be daily? You know, if you're already a good pH, I'd take an ounce twice a day. Now, depending on how the rest of your body is, if you're pretty healthy, you know, that's a good little maintenance amount. And, you know, I use a urine strip test. You can get pH tests. You can do a saliva test or a urine test to measure your pH levels. And although the clay is a 9.7 pH, mine always stays right around 7. It doesn't over-alkalize you. Clay is about balance. Remember, it's homeostatic, and it just wants to bring the body into balance. And your ideal pH is right around 7.0. So I think I answered that one. Good question there. Cindy Harris in Westlake, Ohio. You once mentioned washing your hair with bentonite clay. What is the benefit of this? You use a little shampoo with that? I tried using the clay, but my hair turned out pretty flabby afterwards. Probably each person would be different experience. Love the seminars. Thank you for doing them. That's a good question, Cheryl. And yes, everybody's hair is different. If your hair is fine, it gives it more texture and body. If your hair is coarse and curly, it makes it almost kinky curly. So my hair is very thick and wavy and curly, and it has a mind of its own which way it wants to go also. So when I wash my hair with it or where I put it in, I'm getting a little thin right at the top at 75 years old, and I rub a little clay in there and leave it on and let it dry. Sometimes I'll put a shower cap on and do it all over my whole head just to clean your scalp real good and stimulate hair growth, new hair growth, because it's going to bring blood flow and circulation. In fact, when it starts drying, it'll get a little itchy because it's pulling. It's bringing the blood flow to the surface. People with cradle cap or dandruff use it. It's very good for getting rid of that dandruff and cradle cap. And people who've had chemo, when the hair starts coming back in, often it comes in a thin patch here and a thick patch there and one color here and another color there. It's not an even. So if they use the clay on their scalp, let it dry, wash it off in the shower and do that several times, the hair seems to come in quicker and it also comes in more uniformly in color and texture. So there are a lot of reasons for using it on your hair. Babies with cradle cap, it's great for you. Just rub it on their little heads and kind of do it in a circular motion. You can take one of those little soft nylon scrubby things we have in our shower that you get every time you go to Bath and Body, and just kind of do it in circular motions to loosen up that dead skin on their scalp. And after the winter time, we get dry scalp and our face. It's like just like a snake, you shed your skin. So the dead winter skin, I know each spring I look and I notice I have a lot of peeling and flaky skin on my forehead. And I use the face and body scrub. And it's got little fine grains of ground walnut shell in it the tea tree oil and the peppermint oil, and I put it on. I kind of do it in a circular motion, and it debrides the dead skin cells. It lifts them up. You may not get it the first time. You may have to do it a couple of times to do that, and I find that works very good. And like I say, I use a It's called a conditioner. We used to call it cream rinse, and I go back to the old form, and I notice now they call it a conditioner. And I actually have one that you can get a shampoo and conditioner together, and it leaves my hair a little finer. Because my hair is very coarse and curly, it sort of, you know, relaxes the hair. So after I do my clay, I use that. You can use it with shampoo if you want a little more lather. I use the Living Clay Bar Soaps. They really suds well. And I have short hair, and I can just rub it around my hair about three times, and I have a lather full of, head full of lather, and work it in my scalp. And I don't use shampoo anymore. I just use our soap, and it really has a lot of good essential oils in it that are good for the skin, and the skin always feels so soft after you use that soap. So, and thank you for enjoying these sessions. I hope they're beneficial. All right, let's see what else we have. Carol has another one. This may be a different Carol. Okay. Does clay help with irregular heartbeat? If so, how much should I take every day? You know, I haven't had anybody tell me that it works with that, and I would have to kind of go back and study and see what the cause of irregular heartbeat is. I don't know if it's hypertension or if it's clogged arteries or something of that nature. No one's ever told me it does. I know it has a calming effect. The clay baths with autistic children calms them down, and it does relax the muscles. If you get into a clay bath, like in the spring, I go out and I can't stand not getting in my flower bed, and I bend over and I stooping, and I'm using muscles I haven't used all winter that don't get much workout anyway at my age, pulling weeds and putting in fresh plants. And by the end of the day, I can't move without my body saying, ouch, ouch, ouch. So I get in a clay bath and get down in that hot water and soak. And by the time I get out, my ouches have gone away. The clay will pull when we strain muscles, acetic acid builds up in those muscles, and that's what makes them sore. And when you take a clay bath, it pulls that out, that acidity out, and the soreness just goes away. So it relaxes you, and if you have a stiff neck, you know, you can put the clay, rub some clay or some muscle rub on your neck. The other day, I could not turn my neck. I woke up and my whole neck and shoulders were locked up. When I tried to back my car out, I had to shift my whole shoulders. I couldn't turn my neck. It hurt too bad. So I went in and put some muscle rub on my neck and shoulders and just stood in the bathroom, let it dry a little bit, and put my clothes over it. And by the time I got out of the bathroom, I had more range of motion. It took two good doses to two good applications to get where I felt like I was back to normal. I often sit at the computer a long time and kind of hunch over, and I get real tight in my shoulders. So, okay. So I didn't answer your question about irregular heartbeat. Maybe taking a clay bath, see if that would relax and help. I just really don't know. But, you know, I think everybody should be taking clay. And I've got so many testimonials lately of if you have any kind of problems, digestive problems, really be aggressive. Got a beautiful testimony from a lady the other day that had all sorts of colon problems. She started taking the clay, and in 4 months' time, they wanted to remove quite a bit of her colon. And she started taking the clay while she was in the hospital, and she got up to drinking a cup three times a day. That's 24 ounces of clay a day. And she was drinking lots of water. Well, she had she had Graves' disease. Her Graves' disease cleared up. That's a hyperthyroid condition. She had cysts on her liver, 4 cysts on her liver, and tapeworms. And she said the doctors were giving her high doses of antibiotics. And she said, I think the antibiotics were feeding the tapeworms. I could literally feel them, and when they x-rayed, they had grown. So I started taking the clay, and when the next time they checked it, they were gone. The cysts were gone, and the tapeworms were gone. And she was also putting a poultice over that area. And she said she had had a weak spot in her colon, and they wanted to operate, and they said they might have to end up putting her on a bag the rest of her life. Well, she was trying to avoid that, and so she didn't have it done. And she had also had, she could feel her spleen. Her spleen was getting angry, and her spleen literally, the wall of her colon was so weak, dropped into her colon. And she had this pain and went to the doctor, and they had to give her emergency surgery, and they were concerned that the clay may have gone septic in her bloodstream. But she'd been drinking all that clay. Now, before that, she was putting a poultice on her stomach, and she said she broke out in a rash on her stomach. And right about that time is when she had this spleen that fell down, and they said they may have to remove her spleen and a good bit of her colon. And they were hoping it hadn't gone septic. Well, they got in there, and they only removed 8 inches of her colon. And when she came out of the surgery, she had 5 doctors around her, and they wanted to know what she had been doing in the last 4 months since they had been treating her to go from the colon of a 70-year-old to the colon of a 20-year-old. And they were absolutely amazed at the healing that had happened in her colon. And when she asked them where they did the surgery, the doctor pointed to it on her stomach, and she held up her cell phone because she'd taken a picture where she'd used the poultice. She was actually in the hospital. She smuggled her clay in. She was drinking it, and she was putting the mask on her stomach area at night. And right where that rash was where they did the surgery. So her bowel may have been leaking, and this is what kept it from spreading. It was pulling those toxins out. And they were amazed that she had that photograph. So a lot of good things about taking clay, and if you're taking it internally, I kind of got off the irregular heartbeat, but I thought that was very interesting. She also had a gentleman who came to her who had gone to the doctor with cirrhosis of the liver, and they told him that he was down to 5% of his liver. That was all that was functioning of his liver. And there was nothing they could do for him to go home and get his affairs in order, and they gave him 6 months to live. Well, she lives 2 hours from him, and his wife had heard about her case and called her, and she gave her protocol to this guy of doing clay baths, of doing poultices on his liver, and of drinking the clay. You know, and she didn't start at 5 ounces at a cup of clay all at once. She started out with 3 ounces 3 times a day. Each day she'd add another ounce and gradually built up to where she was drinking the cup a day. And had him do that, and a year later he went back. He also had hepatitis C. His hepatitis C was in remission. They couldn't find a sign of it. His liver had grown back 35%. A year later, he's gone back to work. He's happy, and he feels good. He's no longer yellow, and his urine isn't a dark color. And it's a miracle what can happen with it. So, all right. Well, I don't see any more questions for right now. So I'm going to go back over to the phone page and see if there's anyone on the phone that has a question that they would like to ask. And if you do, if you'll put star 2 on your phone, it will open the line and you can join me and we can discuss your problem. If not, I have had quite a few questions lately from beginner peoples on clay, and some of them were very interesting, and I sort of saved them to go in case it got a little flat here. One lady said, I believe I have mercury poison. I believe I have been mercury poisoned by my amalgam fillings. I cannot get them removed yet, so my question is, use the clay internally without pulling the extra mercury from my fillings. So, yes, you can. Clay's not going to, it pulls it if it's leaking, it captures it. If the amalgams aren't leaking and they're in place and they're not leaking mercury, if they're old, they're probably leaking mercury, and it's just going after the mercury. It's not going to pull your fillings out. But the thing here I'm seeing is I believe I have been mercury poisoned by amalgam fillings. So if her filling's not that old, they may not be leaking, and she may be working on board worry. So go to the doctor, ask to be heavy metal tested, particularly for mercury, and find out if you have it before you start doing the detox clay baths and drinking the clays and worrying. Because if you're not having a lot of symptoms of mercury poisoning and you don't know how much you have, how do you know when you're better? Mercury can get very sequestered in the soft tissues and the joints. It can be very deep sequestered, and it may take months of clay baths to bring it all up. It doesn't just release all at once. So find out what you have so when you can go back and be tested again and see where you are. Otherwise, you've got a game mind going on, a fear tag. You're kind of spinning your wheels over nothing. So much better to find out and have peace of mind. So don't be afraid to have that test done. It may save you a whole lot of worry and stress. And then you know what you're dealing with, and then you have a comparison when you get tested later to find out how much you've accomplished. And for those, you know, if I had it in my body, definitely take clay baths. I would probably take 3 a week, using 2 cups of clay each bath the first week. And, you know, and but given how I felt, I'd go to 1 cup clay baths 3 times a week. You can take the clay baths every day if you want to. Someone started saying take 2 a week for 3 months, and that kind of got to be the rule. But I know a lady that had eczema all over her body, and she took clay baths every day using 2 cups of clay in the bath and stayed in there for 20 minutes, rubbed her skin down with coconut oil afterwards, wrapped in a sheet, and on the 4th day, she was also drinking about 3 ounces 3 times a day. All this dead, dried skin just fell off, and her skin was beautiful. The eczema was gone. So don't be afraid to treat it aggressively. All right, let's see what else we have here. Let me go back and see if we have any questions yet, because I do want to approach your questions. Looks like we're a little slow on questions, and nobody on the phone has indicated anything, so let's pick another one here. We have a friend who has a pacemaker who has cancer of his esophagus. However, my question is whether someone with the pacemaker could take the clay or not. The doctors are also putting a plastic tube in his esophagus so he can get some attrition because he throws up his food, so I'm not sure what effects the clay will have on with the plastic in their bodies. Well, first of all, the doctors are not going to use, they're going to use high-grade quality plastic that don't leach the petroleum products, because they're sticking that tube down into their stomach where there's a lot of acidity, where if it was a cheap plastic, it would leach it out. So they're not going to do that, no more than they use metals in your body that are going to deteriorate. They don't rust. So wouldn't worry about the plastics. The pacemaker, the clay will never come in contact to. It doesn't go into the bloodstream. It'll never touch it. The two will never meet. Shouldn't bother that at all. I would definitely get some clay in him, particularly if he's throwing up. And I would rather do it without the tube in him if he could drink it, because it'll start in the mouth and work down his esophagus, coating that and working on the acidity in that esophagus, and have a better chance to help the cancer problem there. So another good question. I've had some really good questions lately, and some of them are based on a lack of knowledge by other companies. This one says, does taking and bathing in clay deplete minerals from using the clay itself? The minerals and clays are locked together like a chain link fence. They're part of the clay structure that capture and hold toxins. They don't deplete anything. The negative charge in the clay molecule is what grabs the baddies, the toxins, captures them in the clay molecule and carries them out of the body. Vitamins, supplements, nutritions from the food we eat do not qualify as toxins. It does not steal from the bones of the body, but rather the opposite. It helps replenish the whole body by its actions of energy, pH balance, stimulation, and acting as a catalyst to help the body. The minerals in clay are one with the clay particle. It's not like you're taking little doses of minerals. And very instrumental in supporting the body as a whole by acting as a catalyst and also as a cage to hold these toxins. So don't worry about bathing in clay depleting minerals from the clay or from you. It would take temperatures of 1100 degrees centigrade to break out the minerals that are in clay from the clay particle. And also it would take very, very high degrees of a very strong acid, much stronger than the stomach acid in our bodies, to break out the minerals in the clay. So don't worry about the clay minerals. And yes, clay has some heavy metals in it, in the parts per billion. But remember, they act as part of the clay particle as a whole. They're not bioavailable to the body. People don't seem to get that one. Good question there. All right, let's see what else we have. We had a lady who contacted a company, and they were asking, she said, many clays, try to see where her question. She said, I have a jar of your clay that I've only used once for my face. I was going to take it in turn, but first I want to know what you think of this information and if I can be reassured that your clay meets these specific specifications as a living clay or a bentonite clay. And they wrote back, many clays claim to be 100% pure, cleaned either by a heat process or a hydration process to wash out impurities. Both these processes, now this is what I wrote her back, can reduce the effectiveness and strength of the clay in their attempts to make purity claims. They're actually destroying the natural healing properties. Read the label careful for any notations if the clay having been cleaned, processed, filtered, charged, or tampered with in any fashion. So she wrote the company back, and here was their reply. Our clay has been milled in cold process magnets. Wait a minute, I'm going to have to change phones. The battery in my phone is clicking at me. Time to go to Radio Shack and get a new battery. Put that on my to-do list for today. So now I've changed phones and I'm back with you. I'm sorry for that interruption. And let's see where I was on this. The company was claiming that their clay has only been milled and cold process magnets pull out any heavy metals out of the bentonite clay. Living clay is simply saying to not process clay at all, which simply means they are pulling it from the ground and pulling it in bottles, which is not good due to heavy metals. Yes, all other natural nutrients won't be destroyed by the process. However, you are also consuming heavy metals. For this reason, we only mill and magnetize our bentonite, so you get all the bentonites, all the benefits without the heavy metals. Be careful of wording, for basically anything can be not processed. However, most things not processed in a safe manner can lead to bad health defects due to impurities, heavy metals naturally in them. That was their response. Well, if they don't know much about clays, here's my response. The heavy metals and clays are not pieces of metal ore. The minerals and clays are elements from the periodic chemical chart. If you've ever had chemistry, you see the periodic chart, and they have like 120 elements in the Earth's surface. Clays contain between 60 and 90 elements on their chart, most in parts per billion, and this is why they're called trace minerals. Sodium and potassium are considered alkali metals. Calcium and magnesium are considered alkaline earth metals. This is the chemical element chart. I don't think they have a clue what they're talking about. These elements are bound into the clay molecule, tightly linked by oxygen molecules, and are not absorbed into the body. It takes temperatures of 1100 degrees centigrade or very strong acids to separate these mineral particles out. They are fused together. Now, I looked up cold press magnets on Google, and I invite you to do that. You'll get a kick out of it. It says they're little flat refrigerator magnets. I took a little magnet in, and I put it in my clay, and I got no metals out. She's talking about there are two different types of metals, you know. We're talking apples and oranges here, and this was what happens when people are selling someone else's clay and have never really studied clay and they don't understand it. So we get a lot of these myths floating around out there. All right, I'm going to go back and see if we have any more questions while I've been chit-chatting here. Well, where are our questions today? No questions, so we're having a slow day today, and actually our time is up, but I'm going to go back to the phone lines. Does anyone on the phone line has a question they would ask? If you'll press star 2, it will indicate to me, and I can open your line. Star 2 on your phone. If you want to hang on a little bit longer, I'll go by and look at a few more questions. I've answered that one. Oh, hi, I'm Nancy. My friend was listening to the Power Hour today and told me I should contact you for help with Graves' disease, hyperthyroid. I've been trying alternate treatments for 3 years now, but still have to stay on three drugs to control my symptoms. I'm not a drug person. Now my joints are painful. I think from the PTU, I think that the physical therapist, I am becoming desperate enough to swallow the silver bullet, the radioactive iodine pills to kill the thyroid. Two of the alternative doctors I have seen say it's my adrenals and not the thyroid. I get very rapid heartbeat, high blood pressure, and will die without meds. Is there anything you can do to get me out of this? Well, I have two testimonials on hyperthyroidism, and one of them I talked about earlier, the lady that she had the Graves' disease that had the colon problem and the tapeworms, and let me find the part here she had to say about the thyroid. She said, you know, after she got through her surgery, she also, while she was in the hospital, put clay over the staples on her stomach at night, and then she'd wash it off, she'd cover it with saran wrap, And she said, the doctors took my staples out in 9 days. And he said, I looked 4 weeks post-operation, and there was rust on the staples. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? So the clay speeded her healing process. She had it smuggled in, and she would use it, and I guess she'd wash it off before they came in because they never caught on. She said, now I have to deal with my thyroid and anemia. My general practitioner doctor told me I would have to face 6 months of iron injections in the butt to deal with my anemia, and then my thyroid was Graves' disease, and they would have to kill it, and I would be on meds the rest of my life. My general practitioner said I had done so much for myself with this clay that he would like to put it on to a test. I was to report every Monday at the same time for blood work, and we would monitor it. Inside of 4 weeks, I was no longer anemic, nor did I have hyperthyroid. The doctors told me that thyroids never heal themselves. So I told this lady, please do not let them kill your thyroid. You'll be on those drugs the rest of your life. So that was one testimonial. And then the other one was from another lady, and she said, I have hyperthyroidism, and I do think clay has helped. My alternative doctor said metals end up settling in the thyroid and prevent the beneficial minerals from being absorbed into the body, difficult to remove even when detoxing. I have noticed a difference in my system since taking clay. I don't have the pressure in my throat or thyroid storms that I used to have, and the tension heat in my body, and I don't have fly-off-the-handle reactions as I used to. I feel a little more even or balanced. I only wish the clay had an effect on the lower adrenals. Can't take stimulating adaptogens. Doesn't help that hyper stuff. And so there you have it. There are two people who definitely had help with the clay. And I think the second one wasn't also using it as a poultice over her thyroid. She was just drinking it and probably not drinking anywhere near a cup a day, three times a day. So there you have it with Graves' disease, which the doctors say you can't cure. Ta-da! You know, I kind of love it when I get these people who are brave enough to try the clay on different things and then share their wins with me. Well, our time is up for today. It's been wonderful being with you. I'm going to take one more look on our Q&A page. Here's a question from Sandra. How does the body benefit from silica and minerals since the clay is not absorbed into the body? Silica is a nanocrystal, and it is capable of reorganization. It also holds energy, and it's capable of it has memory recall. It's where clay gets his wisdom. So silica is like a conduit for the catalyst that clay helps promote the body. The clay acts as a whole molecule. Enzymes from the body attach to the clay particle, and together they can make things that the clay does not contain that the body's deficient in. This is called biotransformation. And it's a unique process that the body does through enzymatic action with the clay. Enzymes attached to the clay particles, they can make amino acids. From amino acids, you get peptide chains. From peptide chains, you get protein and can even create vitamins that the body is deficient in that the clay doesn't even contain. So it's puzzling. No one can really definitively figure out exactly how. The clay has an energy to it. And all I know is it works, and nobody's ever died from taking clay. The worst thing you may have is a detox reaction, and that's a sign that it's working. just slow down and stay with it. Thank you for that question. And I believe, we have some more. Victoria from South Padre Island. I'm new to clay. Why does it need to be mixed with water and sit for 12 hours for a mask or to drink? Can you drink too much? I'm healthy. Many thanks for your knowledge and research. I've got to figure out who's putting this out there that you need to mix it with water and set it for 12 hours for a mask. I've seen that recently. And I have no idea who's putting that out there. Some clay is recommending that. That's an old method for mixing it. If you will shake it, it will do the same thing and it will set up and make you a nice homogeneous clay in about 10 minutes time. Never stir clay because it lumps. So you, when you put your clay and water together, shake it vigorously, get all the lumps out. Let it sit for about 10 minutes. You can open the lid and give it room to expand and swell. And you'll have a creamy consistency about like chocolate pudding. So if you can let me know who in the world, what clay tells you to wait 12 hours for it to settle into a mask, I'd love to know who's putting that out there. And drinking is the same thing. Shake it, baby, shake it. You use more water. If you're using living clay, it's a 1-to-8 ratio, 1 part clay to 8 parts water. All that means is however much clay you use 8 times that amount of water. And then shake it, shake it, shake it. Do not store it in anything metal and take away from medicines. So, when you shake it and you put it on your cabinet, you give about 10 minutes for the heavier particles to settle to the bottom. You'll watch them drifting to the bottom. This is kind of the sandy, grittier part. Drink off the top, it'll stay in emulsion. When you get to the bottom, add some water to it, shake it loose, feed it to your plants, they'll bloom and grow like crazy. So, that's a good question. I'm going to try to capture your email here and ask you where you got those directions, because I've seen them and had a lot of people asking me that. That's a turnoff to using clay. Who wants to sit and wait 24 hours for it to gradually swell on its own? How does the body benefit from the silica? Okay, I've answered that one. Shirley says, the other day I took a bone density test. In preparing for the test, they tell you not to take any calcium supplements. My habit is to take clay first thing in the morning. I took it the day of the test. Would the clay throw off the results of the test? No, it will not. The amount of mineral, clay, calcium is one of the four minerals that you get a tiny bit of in the cation exchange rare. So it will throw off little, small amounts of calcium, magnesium, potassium, and sodium. Those are the only minerals you get from clay. Not enough to make a daily minimum requirement, not even near enough for that. So it should not throw off your results at all. And I wouldn't worry about that. Thank you. All right. Good day. Good questions. And we're out of time. So this is Perrier signing off and wishing you a wonderful spring day wherever you are. Get outside. Get some fresh air. Winter's over. And let the sun bathe you moderately. We need to be careful with the sun. But if you do get sunburn, use your clay. It will take that burn right out. So have a good day, and don't forget to drink your clay. This is Perrier signing out.